Let us come to God's Word. This is really why we've come, I trust, to hear God's Word, to speak to our hearts. Let us now turn to God's Word for our instruction. The Scripture reading this evening is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I read the first 13 verses of that portion of God's Holy Word. Young people, this is the Word of God. Come, let us hear God's holy, infallible, sacred, and inerrant word. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger, and he set a carved image, the idol, which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David, and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Amen. This is the reading of God's holy, infallible word, and we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his word, and then to bless the preaching, the ministry of his word here this evening. Well, dear young people and adults, turning once again your prayerful attention to those words that I read in your hearing just a little while ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I read the verses 1 to the verse 13. And once again, with the Lord's guidance and enabling, with his blessing this evening, and these verses open up before us with God's help, we pray that he will bring these truths to our hearts. And what I want us to do tonight, as we have these verses before us, is to see by God's help the amazing grace of God to this man, Manasseh. We read of his life and the things that he did in his life, and they really are quite shocking, are they not? When we read the extent of the evil that was in his life, when we read what a godly background he had, and we are simply, are we not appalled when we see what he did? But these things ought to cause us to look into our own hearts and see where we have come from. And certainly if we're not the Lord's, may he reveal to us that we need him above all things. Not merely a cleaning up of our lives, but may we need him, the God of all grace, and the God of mercy. May the Lord have mercy upon us. For all have sinned, says the word of God, and all have come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So firstly, by way of introduction, let us survey this man's background and his life. Manasseh was the 13th king of Judah. By now, Judah was a very small nation in the south. Israel, the country Israel, has long been divided after the death of Solomon, when his son Rehoboam came into power, and the nation was split. Israel in the north, consisting of 10 tribes, and then Judah in the south, consisting of 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And here is this 13th king of Judah, Manasseh, king of this small nation in the south. And of course, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hence, he would come from the tribe of Judah. And this nation must continue, and things must go on. God will judge this nation, or should we say, chastise this nation in time. He will send this nation into Babylon. He certainly chastised this king, sent this king into Babylon because of his evils, and the Lord brought him back in mercy. And that's what he did also with Judah in time. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ would come from these people, from Judah, as is prophesied in the scripture. And it had to be that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world, that he would die upon the cross, and that he would bear the sins of sinners, and that he would save sinners by his atoning death. But he also came to fulfill the law of God. He came under the law, and he came to fulfill the law of God, which you and I haven't done. None of us have obeyed God's law, have we? We have all broken God's commandments, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so when the fullness of time was come, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law. We'll come back to that a bit later. But here we are in the time of Manasseh, and he began to reign in about 687 BC. Manasseh reigned, we read here, for 55 years. He died when he was 67 years old, and that means he was only 12 years old when he became king. That's very, very young. Notice the verse 1 in your Bibles. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But in the verse 2, we read that he was a most wicked, a most evil king. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And built altars for the host of heaven in the courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit. What an evil king he was. Never seen such a king like this throughout the history of Judah. And it says he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord. He even practiced child burning here, sacrifice. Children were put in the fires, even his own. Now, although Manasseh was very young when he came into power, he was not the youngest monarch. But there was something very striking about the way in which he came into power, in which he came to reign, the way in which he was born and he came into this throne. It was because of the life of his father Hezekiah that was preserved. There was a time when Hezekiah, we read in Isaiah, had a sickness that was unto death. And the prophet came and warned him that he would soon die. But he sought the Lord. And the Lord extended his father's life by a further 15 years. And it's evident that over the next 3 years of that extension of 15 years, that he bore him a son. And it's this son here, Manasseh. It was only because his father had received an extra 15 years of his life that this son was born. Now, many of us might think, well, perhaps best he hadn't have been born. When we think of the things that he did, when we think of the wickedness, we think of his evil life, best that he hadn't have been born. Well, let us not try to tell God how to rule this universe and how to order things. You're going to see the grace of God, the mercy of God. And had this king not have come, it would have been a disaster. Well, his father, let's come to his father for a moment. His father was a very godly man. His father Hezekiah brought about many reforms at a time of great idolatry in Judah and Israel. He tore down the Baal images and those places of worship. He threw down those altars of Baal, and he reopened the house of God for worship, and he brought about true reform. The name Hezekiah means strengthened of God. Strengthened of God. And he was. His heart was taken up in the ways of God. And whenever the enemies, the Assyrians, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sought to fight against him, the Lord came in for his father Hezekiah during that reign. And one time there were 185,000 of the troops that were slain by God. These nations were rising up against his father Hezekiah. And the Lord strengthened his father. And the Lord slew 185,000 of the Assyrian army just in one night. And you see, young Manasseh would have heard all these things. These great exploits that God had done. These great things that God had done for his father. And how his father's life was extended by 15 years. Amazing. And even how the sun had been turned by so many degrees. How the Lord had done all of that in his mercy toward his father, who turned his back and wept against the wall. What mercy had been shown. What kindness had been shown to this young man. And as I said, the Lord told through the prophet that his father would soon die. And his father sought the Lord. In 2 Kings 20, we read, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And then we read, he turned his face and sought the Lord. And as you get to the end of that chapter, we read how Hezekiah said the Lord had hid his sins behind his back, and how in mercy he had saved his soul. And this is how the Lord saves our souls, isn't it? In mercy. Salvation is the mercy of God. We don't earn salvation. When we turn to him in full repentance and faith. Now Hezekiah's father wasn't a perfect man, but he was a godly man. There were times when he sought allegiances with other nations, and the Lord rebuked him for that. And he did seek the Lord, and the Lord forgave him, and the Lord added another 15 years, and the Lord gave him a son. He never had an heir, and now an heir is given. 3 years later, God gave him a son. Him and his wife, Hephzibah, gave him a son, Manasseh, an only son. Imagine that. You can perhaps imagine, maybe you're an only child, or maybe you can imagine parents that have just one child. How wonderful it is when the Lord gives a child. What joy there is, and there must have been joy as they held him. But when the boy turned 12, his father's 15 years were up, and the Lord took him. And some suggest that one of the reasons why he turned out to be so wicked was that his father was taken from him when he was so young. Some suggest that, but there's certainly nothing in the scriptures to suggest that. But even if that were the case, and maybe you, somebody here tonight who's young, and maybe something quite tragic has happened in your life, and maybe you feel bitter. Well, let's just think about this young man. Had he ever any reason to complain? I mean, he wouldn't be in the world, would he, had God not have been merciful to his father? And God had not given 15 years to his father. Never complain. And after all, he had a godly father. And after all, hadn't the Lord said to him, "You shall have 15 years, no more"? The Lord is sure to his promises. Well, the Lord also never would have saved this young man either. He never would have been born, never would have been saved. So we must never be those who complain about where we're born, what family we're born into, what circumstances we're born into, what friends we have, what friends we don't have. Oh, I wish I'd have lived here. Wish I'd have had a different mom and dad. Well, you certainly wouldn't be here tonight, would you? If you had had another mother and a father, you certainly wouldn't know what you know here tonight. You probably would have been in some nightclub or some pub or somewhere else in this world. Had God have not given you a mother and a father, never complain, young people, about what God has given you. And you know, you just never know what the Lord might do for you in your life if you seek him with all your heart. Never complain about anything. Thank the Lord that at the moment you're not in hell. The Lord could have passed you. Every day of your life is a mercy, surely. And everything you have, every opportunity you have from the Lord, is a mercy from the Lord. And remember also, just as here with this man, Manasseh, there's always a consequence to your sin. You may go in the world and do these worldly things and rail against God and oppose everything that you have been taught and instructed in. But remember this, God will not be mocked, and you will have to give an account for your sin one day. So tonight, as we have surveyed his life, let us just consider this blessing he had of a godly father. You know, the name Manasseh means one who forgets. That's what it means in the Hebrew. One who forgets. And I think that's a very apt name, don't you? One who forgets. And are you somebody here tonight who forgets very often the blessings that have been given you? You all have different families. Some of you have families that don't attend church. Some of you don't have Christian parents. Those of you that do have Christian parents, you ought to thank the Lord for that. And those of you that don't have Christian parents and yet you come here, you still ought to thank the Lord for that, because there are some parents that don't even want their children to hear the Word of God. They're so against the Word of God, and you need to thank the Lord for that. So thank the Lord. Don't forget what mercies have been shown you. Don't forget any of that. Well, he had a godly mother and father. He was taught all the things of God. And you know, that in itself is no guarantee in your life as a young person. You can be taught many things of God. And the Bible does say to train up our children in the way of the Lord, for they will not depart from it. But that does not guarantee salvation, does it? And you need to differentiate right now as a young person the difference between being God-fearing and being saved. You might be a young person who is God-fearing. You know that right from wrong. And certainly Manasseh knew right from wrong. You see how he pushed against everything that he knew to be right. He deliberately went against these things. He knew what he was doing. It says here, he did these things against the Lord. He opposed the Lord. He did this to anger the Lord. And the Lord doesn't forget. You mustn't forget who you are. You mustn't forget where you've come from. You can have a privileged background. You, if you've got Christian parents, you've seen their witness. You've seen their life. You've seen what the Lord has done for them. Don't forget that. But remember this, there's a difference between God-fearing and somebody that's saved. Somebody that is saved is somebody that has repented of their sins and is trusting in the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins. Somebody that is God-fearing may just fear the Lord. They know right from wrong. And yet there's been no change of heart. They know the truths in their mind. But like this young man, he says, I'll live how I want. My father's dead. I'll live how I want. He forgot the only God, the God of his father. Ecclesiastes 12:1, Solomon says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Oh, young people, it's important right now that you remember your creator. You remember your Lord, because life could be taken from you. The Lord was very merciful with Manasseh. For so long it seemed that he sinned. We don't know how long it was exactly, but it would seem to be a good while. Because you look at the catalogue of sins that were committed here. It would have been a long time. How long-suffering and slow to anger the Lord is, and how merciful he is. But you know, we cannot, every day of our lives, we just cannot assume that tomorrow is another day of mercy. The Bible says, while it is today, it is called the day of salvation. Now, while you hear God's voice speaking to your heart, seek the Lord, the Word of God says. Turn to him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. It's so important. Remember now, Solomon says. Now, not tomorrow. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because tomorrow you could be a lot worse than what you are now. It's a lesson. He got worse and worse progressively over a period of time. And you know, when we leave home and all the influences in the world, we don't get any better. Some of you are headed off to university and places of study, and you'll be rubbing shoulders with people in the world, and it's going to get harder for you. The influences will become greater and greater. Now, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, this passage also serves another purpose. Notice in the verse 2, he took for his role model those who the Lord had previously destroyed for their wickedness. Notice there in the verse 2. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You notice that there? He took for his role model those who the Lord had previously destroyed because of their wickedness. Who did the Lord destroy? This is a reference to the Amorites. This child sacrifice is not a new thing. This is something that has taken place way back in Canaan. You remember the Amorites? Remember how, you've learnt this I'm sure in Sunday school, how the Lord would judge the Amorites and the people of Canaan because of their child sacrifice, because of the wickedness in the land. And here, this man Manasseh takes on as his role model these Canaanites. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? So what he does is he rejects the things of his father, and he embraces the things of the wicked. But you see, that's what a lot of young people do. They reject the things of their parents. They reject to worship the God who the Lord has blessed their parents. And they embrace the things of the world, the things that God curses. God cursed the Amorites. God cursed these people in Canaan. And God judged them. And it's the same with young people today. They embrace the idols of this world, rock stars, pop stars, movie stars, models, football stars, you name it. The people of the world, that's what a lot of young people are doing. They embrace the things of this world, even the philosophies of this world, and they reject the things God has blessed. Are you somebody like that tonight? Like Manasseh, you're embracing the things of this world. The things of this world are becoming increasingly attractive to you. You feel the pull so strong. You know, an idol is anything we give ourselves to. It doesn't have to be a wooden image. It doesn't have to be something we actually physically bow down to. But it's something that has got our hearts, it seems, mad. He is rejecting truth. He is rejecting God, that which God has proven to be good and true. How the Lord delivered his father and the nation, and how the Lord has kept Israel. And you know, it's the same in this country. The Lord has so long blessed this nation. This country, young people, that was a God-fearing land. And yet, young people seem to have very little time now for God. Little time for God's Word. More time for the world. Are you finding yourself increasingly going in that direction? Well, here this passage is a warning for you. God indeed will allow you to go into this world, and it will be hurtful. Think of the pain he would cause himself eventually coming back to God or coming to God. It's a warning, isn't it? Don't idolize the things of this world and at the same time reject the things of God. This is defiance, isn't it? Defiance. You know, you may idolize pop stars, rock stars or whatever, emulating those lifestyles who are in sin, and God curses that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life. These sins here, we read, are sins that have always been there. The Bible, in fact, says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Homosexuality is defiance against God. Call it what you like. It is absolute defiance against God. Drunkenness, inordinate affection, corruption, all sorts of sins, worldliness, that corrupts the heart. You and I are made to know God and to worship God. We are His creatures, made in His image. That's how we're made. We're made to know God and to identify with Him and to worship Him and Him alone. And you see, when man comes away from God, he actually destroys himself. That's what we do. We destroy ourselves. See what he's doing here to children, throwing his own children into the fire. And the world is no different. The world, in one sense, is throwing its own children into the fire. Couldn't believe, I don't like going there, but once a year we preach in the open air in the middle of London. And we preach at this London Gay Pride Day. It's an awful experience. I do not advise you to go. It is an abomination. It is so hard. It is wickedness. There is nothing wholesome that they are celebrating. And there are parents walking with their children celebrating these things. This is what worldly philosophy does. And I said to them all, I said, do you realize, young people, not one of you would be here without a mother and a father. It is anti-civilization. And this is what you do, you see, when you come away from God and you embrace worldly philosophies. Young people, let me ask, who are your role models? It's important we have good role models. Certainly not the movie stars, the pop stars of this world. Is it some ungodly wretch who is flaunting themselves, taking drugs, idolizing themselves? Because that's how you will become. Somebody who idolizes themselves, that is exactly how you'll become. The only one worthy of worship is the Lord. Because as the Lord Jesus said, there is none good but God. And we must worship Him and Him alone. When we exclude God out of our lives, see how we become. What do you follow? What are you following? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what it will all lead to. This young man took for his role model those who the Lord had previously destroyed because of their sin. And it's the same. The issue is this sin, isn't it? Those who practice sin are indeed cursed. Those who idolize sin are cursed. But blessed are the righteous. Look how his father was blessed. Now we see what he did. We have to go through the catalogue here. It's awful. He built again the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Baalim and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. All that his father did, he destroyed. He tore down. He opposed everything. And you know, very often, this is the case. There are so many. You look at history, men like Stalin, many of these great, call them great if you like, many of these troublemakers have come from Christian homes. And they will do all that they can to oppose truth. And they'll rail against it to silence conscience. And you know, you can only silence conscience so long. You'll eventually go mad because you can't destroy the truth. You know, we're told by the Lord Himself in the New Testament that at the end times, wickedness will abound in this world. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And such will the wrath of God come upon. God will not be mocked. Young people, if you're not worshipping God, let me tell you this, you are somebody who has an idolatrous heart, because there's always something to worship, isn't there? We have this innate tendency within us to turn to something. If you're not worshipping God, you're worshipping something. Something else has gripped your heart. And I say, beware, be careful, because sin has such a pull. And the devil has blinded the minds of people in this world. It may not be images that you're worshipping, but whatever sin it is, God curses it, and he curses the person who trusts in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and who trusts in these things for his happiness. Where is your heart tonight? But notice, he didn't stop there. He built up altars in the house of the Lord, and he just carried on. Caused his children to go through the valley of the son of Hinnom in that fire. He did all of these things to provoke the anger of God. He didn't do it in ignorance. And maybe you have here tonight a heart of defiance. You say, I will not go in the way of my parents. I will not go in the way of truth. I will not go in the way of God. I want the world, and I want all that it has to offer. And I will find my happiness in the world. No, you won't. It leads to the destruction and the unhappiness of the heart. It always does. Sin is a great deceiver. It promises happiness, but it brings forth death. He had so much, hadn't he? He had a godly father's history. He had holiness behind him, all around him, and yet he rejected God. I wonder if you're here tonight and you are provoking God to anger. It says here, he provoked God to anger. That him I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. And maybe you feel tonight that you've gone too far. Maybe you've even professed faith in the Lord, and you've gone too far, you feel. Well, you know, a lot of people felt that. The Apostle Peter felt that after he grieved the Lord. But you know, that there's always mercy with the Lord. The one who truly turns to the Lord and seeks the Lord will always find him to be merciful. Always. The Bible says he will not cast away he that comes to him. But you must come with a repentant heart. But I want you to see how the Lord deals with him here. But first it got worse. He became a ringleader in these things. So Manasseh, verse 9, made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. Everybody else. It's not just it was his own sin, but he caused others to sin. And you need to mark that down. When you sin, there are others that are often caused to sin by your sin. And perhaps there's somebody here tonight, you've made a profession of faith, you've gone in the world again, but there are younger people behind you that have been looking to you as an example. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? To cause others to stumble. It's an awful thing. And he even did that. But is there mercy? Yes, there's mercy. There's mercy. We read later on here, verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. The very people who the Lord fought against with his father, the Lord brings upon Manasseh. You say, can God do that? Yes, he can. And he does. And he will often do that. He will go to great lengths to bring people to their knees, to bring them to repentance. And my young friend, tonight God may be just doing that and using the wicked of this world to reprove you and to show you that you have long despised His grace. And if He's doing that, let me say this, and I say it in love. He's doing it in love. He's doing it in kindness. He's doing it in mercy. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful He's not leaving you to your sin and to earn, to go headlong into these things? And He did this because there's a people, Judah, that must be saved. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, must come. Now as we close, there are some practical lessons. I want you to notice, number one, see the only way of repentance. Verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And that's something you must do. Is the Lord afflicting you in some way? Is he reproving you? Well, Manasseh, no matter what he had done, thrown people in the fire, even his own children, he sought the Lord. He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself. See, that's what pride is, isn't it? It is going against God. It is sin. Pride is sin. But he humbled himself. That is, he repented. And he told the Lord. His heart was broken. He sought the Lord. Greatly before the God of his fathers. And prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him. Have you ever prayed, really? Have you prayed to the extent where you have shed tears of your sin? I hope it's not just the affliction that is driving you to God, but are you afflicted in your heart? Knowing that you have done wrong, that you have erred against God, and that you are broken inside. Because ultimately that's what it's about, isn't it? We have sinned against God. We have broken his laws. We have been so awful against the God of grace and kindness, and prayed unto him. And notice, and he was entreated of him. Oh, the Lord entreated him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. That's amazing, isn't it? How the Lord could bring him out of this captivity. But you see, that's what the Lord does. In a real sense, he brings us out of the captivity of our sin and relieves us from that difficulty, whatever we might be in. And he sets our heart free and he brings us to him again. Is that not what you want? Surely you don't want to be entangled with this world and its sin. You see what sin does. You see the foolishness of people of this world. You see what fools they make of themselves when they drink and they take drugs and they swear and they curse and the lives they live. How different God's people are to the people of this world. Surely you want to be like God's people. Surely you want the mercy and the kindness of God in your life. And ultimately, don't you? You want his smile upon your life. Really, that's life, isn't it? In thy favor, says the psalmist, there is life. That's life. To know God's approval upon your life and to know happiness and joy once again and to be restored unto the God of your salvation. I'll just close with a couple of lessons. Young people, a godly heritage does not guarantee a godly life, but only seeking the Lord with all your heart, your soul and your mind. Secondly, parents who may be good examples are not enough to keep their children from sin, even the worst of sin. And therefore, parents, I would say, don't be too hard on yourselves. Pray for your children. Ultimately, salvation is of the Lord, and you children, remember that. Don't blame your parents for your falls, your sin. You have to answer to God. But seek him now, while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. It's a lovely verse, how the Lord entreated him. Depth of mercy can there be mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. Yes. Yes, he can, and he does. Seek him now. He is gracious, kind, and long-suffering. May you know the Lord to be your God. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be your Savior. And salvation is only in the Lord Jesus. It is only because he lived that perfect life, friend, that we have failed to live and then died the death in the stead of his people. So will you put your trust and your confidence in God? See the grace of God's affliction in the life of Manasseh. May God afflict you even now that you may turn to him. Amen.